Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Dallas.
It would be a little weird, but I would take a quick pick-me-up. I'm not a big coffee guy, as everyone
today
knows.
Today is the day.
I might take one today.
That eight-hour drive got you.
It wasn't bad, but
it's still tough.
I think in Strange Brew's stead, I'm probably just going to go with barbecue. I think you will settle for that as well.
I will settle for that. But if you need Strange Brew Coffee, you know the place to go. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Everything you need right there, shipped to your door. You can enjoy a great cup of coffee each and every morning. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business needs. You know, you look at the SEC here and all the flyers and stuff they put out, and they look okay. It looks all right. It could have been so much better if they had just worked with Pip Printing and Signs. Plus, then the SEC could be a member of the Bulldog Initiative, which, after years of screwing us,
maybe it's about time.
Where you at, Sankey, you son of a... It could have helped us out there. So, and you can do it, too. If you're a Mississippi State fan and a business owner, you already spend money on printing every month. The place to do it is at Pip Printing and Signs. They will make you a Bulldog Initiative business, 10% of your sale directly to the Bulldog Initiative. You can't lose. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216, and he'll get everything set up for you. Just tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. It's a new era here at Mississippi State, and you need to be a part of it. You need to get rid of those old Banner M polos. Trade them out. Get some new Script State gear this football season. The place to do it is College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to grab the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, or for Sunday brunch. It's at Restaurant Tyler. They've been, you know, remodeling over the past couple months, or few weeks, I should say, and we haven't been a chance to be there. So when Robbie and I get back to Starkville, a trip to Restaurant Tyler is very high on our to-do list. And why wouldn't it be? The best blue plate in town, great place to go for dinner, and for Sunday brunch, there's no better place in Starkville than Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only the location nearest you, but show you how they're going to work with your money. You did the hard work to get the money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank take it from there. Let them show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and take care of your family for a long, long time. 16 locations means if you live in Central Mississippi, there's a location near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, hey there, Robbie.
That was a mouthful. Hey,
I do it every show.
I know. Are we on camera? Like, are we?
We are.
Is this going anywhere?
It might.
Okay. I don't know if I should look at the camera or not.
Just.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be rude. You don't want to be. I don't want
to
act like
we're doing a podcast. We're talking to each other. You can just talk to me.
Okay.
I just want when you get on a rant, you're right there.
I would like to have some presentation about myself, even though it might not be professional or. And I'm one of the only people in here wearing a T-shirt.
You are.
But, you know.
But you're not working technically.
And I snuck in here. Nobody attacked me. I wasn't wearing a credential.
You don't have a credential on, do you?
I don't.
Security.
But I just kind of stepped in here and nobody said anything. So
I mean, they kicked
walking.
Nick Saban out, but not Robbie Falk. That tells you the kind of stroke you've got around here.
But that's what you're supposed to do. You act like you belong somewhere.
Act as if.
And you just walk through. You don't ever draw attention to yourself. Just walk through, and here we are.
We are live here on Radio Row at SEC Media Days. Live is a stretch, obviously. You're listening to this as a podcast. But we are here. Mississippi State will be here tomorrow, or today as you're listening. Jeff Levy, Blake Shapen, John Lewis, Albert Reese will all be here. And we'll have plenty to talk about football-wise tomorrow. Today we have a lot to talk about, and it's baseball for Mississippi State as the MLB draft has finally concluded. And now we're starting to have some sort of an idea, we think, of what this team is going to look like. I have a question right off the top because I legitimately don't know the answer. I'm not asking for discussion. Did Hunter Hines get drafted?
He did not.
I'm not going to lie. Very surprising.
I'm a little surprised.
All right.
And here's the thing. Like, it's kind of like the Elijah McNamee thing. You know, where does he fit on the next level? Mm-hmm. But at some point, you start seeing some of the people that are drafted, and, you know, he's better than a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
So it's kind of surprising.
All right.
And I don't know. The draft is so weird, and we have to talk about this every year, just about how complex it is to understand it, mm-hmm. because there are no rules. That everybody's different. Every player is different. Every team is different on what money that they can give. Who they sign where, who they pick where, who's going to get that money. And it's just hard to really figure out what's going to happen. But he was one of the surprises to me that he didn't get taken at all. And I thought if he got taken, he would probably sign. Mm-hmm. My question is now, is he going to come back or is he going to sign an undrafted free agent deal? Because we have seen guys that have signed those undrafted free agent deals and – turn down the opportunity to come back for another year. Mm-hmm. Hunter's a little bit different than Aaron Nixon, though, mm-hmm. and even a Casey Hunt, in that I think that he could demand a really nice NIL deal next year.
Demand's maybe not the right word. He could get it, though. Command, maybe.
Well, I just mean, like, his presence demands it.
Yeah.
His presence, coming
He's
back
popular.
For fourth year.
There's something to the idea of him becoming MSU's all-time home run
king. Yes. That is a you know, that's something that
something
you can
realistic.
Sell.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that can be, I know it's not, you're not supposed to pay for play or anything like that, but maybe that's an incentive.
Incentive for him personally.
Right.
Else. So, well, let's start at the top for Mississippi State. And that is, you know, I think if, what's more surprising to you in terms of looking back a full year, that Dakota Jordan doesn't go in the first round or that Gerangelo does go in the first round?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
You know, I still think Dakota Jordan was a borderline first-round prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I think the season that he had, obviously, you know, you're not able to demand, like we were talking about the demands, you're not able to demand the price tag that he was demanding with Scott Boras. You know, I think that he was a borderline first-round guy, probably a second-round guy, and the price tag that he had and the money that he was asking for obviously pushed him a little bit down.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't – that's probably not as big a surprise, I think, as Gerangelo going first. I don't know if I could fathom that last year
mm-hmm.
after, you know, he had an 8-plus earn run average. And you saw some tools, but I didn't ever saw first-round talent with him last year, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I don't even know if I would come out and say he was a first-round talent most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as the season went on, that grew a little bit, and then the combine that he had really tipped the scales, I think, in his favor. He became a guy that was he obviously was really good as far as, you know, interacting with the teams, and they liked him a lot. Good character kid. They love the fact that he throws with both arms. But I think that you saw this year he really matured as a player and kind of fine-tuned some of the things that he did really well. And you just didn't really see a lot of huge weaknesses with him this year. And at the end of the day, I think his stock really skyrocketed this year. I don't know if I could have predicted that. So that, to me, that's probably my answer, is Gerangelo was the bigger surprise.
So Gerangelo heads to the Seattle Mariners with the 15th pick overall. So the first Bulldog player drafted, another name on the wall in terms of first-round draft choices. The first ever switch pitcher drafted in the first round of the MLB draft. So a great pick up there for the Mariners. I think he's got major league stuff. We'll see how it translates for him going forward. The first round was kind to Mississippi State from that perspective. perspective. We all knew that Gerangelo was going to move on, so to see him get picked high was great for Mississippi State. It was unkind later in the round when State's top high school prospect, Dante Norrie, was picked by the Philadelphia Phillies. We knew that he was a huge draft risk and likely to go. I don't think we thought he would go that high, but it goes back to something you say a lot, that it just takes one team to say, that's the guy we're zeroing in on, and it's over from there. So Dante Norrie will head on to the major leagues.
Yeah, and I think they figured out he was probably an easier sign. Anytime you see a guy drafted that high, it's either that the team had – the money, or they have an opportunity to save some money with that pick. I don't know if he's the 27th player in the draft.
Right.
You know, and that, again, that goes into what I was saying about just how weird the MLB draft is, and you cannot predict it. You really do not know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going on in those rooms, and it really is dictated by the team and the player. And, you know, what they're willing to pay or what the kid is willing to agree on. And I think I was always kind of skeptical of him coming to school. There was that glimmer of hope, and it always seems to be that glimmer of hope with a kid that Mississippi State's recruiting, that, you know, with him it was – he was too old mm-hmm. for a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 20 in 3 months, I think.
And it's crazy to think of a 20-year-old being too old for something. But when you're talking about minor league baseball, you know, your rookies are usually 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
You're talking about high school. So he's 2 years ahead of that.
And they don't – it's kind of weird, you know.
It is a little weird.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, though, like, you know, for teams, high schoolers, they like to be younger. Mm-hmm. And then you can be too old, you know, coming out of college. So – and he would have been, you know, a draft-eligible sophomore, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2 years at
which kind of reset would have reset it things for him in terms
yeah,
of
right.
He would have been 22 at that point. That's a normal college prospect age.
Yep. So, I you know, it's tough to lose a guy like that, but I was never really counting on him. Not a ton of bad surprises, I don't think, in this draft when you really look at it. And by the way, two things. I'm kind of all over the place, but a couple of things when I look at this draft. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, from 1,000 feet looking down, this was a College World Series caliber roster. Anytime you have 11 players drafted, which, by the way, was the most of any team in the entire country this year in the draft, you have a team that's capable of getting to the College World Series. The other two teams that Mississippi State has had 11 players drafted,
mm-hmm.
2016,
mm-hmm.
2019.
Yeah.
And we remember how good those teams were.
Yeah.
This team was on the same scale mm-hmm. as far as the number of players drafted. And actually, the percentage of players inside 20 rounds, 100% for this team. Those other two teams had several players drafted in the 30s.
Yeah, you know, that was when the draft round. Was longer.
Yeah. So, and you had a first-round pick. You had, in the first 15 rounds, I think, you had a player taken in 9 of those rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressive.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of thought that this roster was really talented as you started going throughout the year, and Mississippi State just was not reaching that potential. On the other side of things, and how coaching was very, very good for Mississippi State, the pitchers. This was a school record for pitchers drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at every single pitcher outside of Colby Holcomb, who had a rough year, and he was drafted basically on – the thought that he is going to be fixed in the minor leagues. Every single player made a fairly sizable jump from last year to this year.
And
you look at the Tyson Harden, Tyler Davis, would anybody have predicted they would have been drafted last year?
They wouldn't
year?
Have been 12th-round picks in the Korean Baseball League last
year. I mean,
year.
Gerangelo, 8-run, earned run average.
Yeah.
He's drafted, you know, in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all three of your – starting rotation guys who we didn't even know who State starting rotation was last year.
Not at this time last year, no.
And even going into the first week, we're kind of like, who is it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Nate Dome, Cal Steven, Gerangelo, all within the first 3 rounds. That's impressive. Your
yeah.
starting rotation all drafted. So amazing job by Justin Parker and what he did this offseason. That should give you a glimmer of hope that this next team is going to be able to kind of sustain. But, you know – it's just hard to know because there's so many unknowns coming into the season. So, you know, I thought those two things. This past roster was way more talented than going on the road in a regional, and also the pitching job that Justin Parker did was just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Being reported that Hunter Hines will return to Mississippi State.
Okay. That's great news.
Yeah.
That is really good news.
All of a sudden, that lineup is something interesting, because now it looks like with the guy, you know, let's make some assumptions here, right? Mm-hmm. Let's assume that they hold on to everybody they've got committed, and there's a lot of smoke that Nolan McCarthy, the Kentucky center fielder, will commit to Mississippi State. All of a sudden, you got a little depth if that holds.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just that you have a great starting lineup. Now, one of State's problems this year was that if they had to pinch hit, they were putting a guy up there who was hitting 100, 200, maybe even zero in some instances. So
that's the thing, too. And, you know, Chris Simonis, this was his whole thought process after the Virginia game, is they've got to be deeper on offense. Mm-hmm. And they got to be better. And I think that this is a really good step in the right direction. Even with the guys that are probably – I mean, you got the guy from Campbell.
Yeah. Stallman.
Stallman.
Yeah.
You know, that was – initially, that was going to be your first baseman.
Right.
You get Hunter Hines back, that's your backup first baseman, a guy that started for a really good program.
Or is that a guy who can DH for you?
DH. Yeah. You know, Noah Sullivan right now is a – you have upgraded your offense tremendously in the offseason.
Can Stallman be an outfielder? I mean, you don't know, but –
But that's the thing now.
You have options.
Is a David Mershon and a Hunter Hines coming back to this team changes everything.
And Mershon has not announced that he's coming
he
back.
He hasn't.
It seems likely. Drafted in the 18th round.
You know, I don't know. I'm putting that as a possibility. If
right.
David Mershon comes back, that's your top of the order bat. Mm-hmm. And so you solve any problems there. You have your middle of the order bat and Hunter Hines, which everybody's been talking about how this team is not going to have much power next year. That's a potential 20-plus home run guy, mm-hmm. and Hunter Hines, a guy that has a very good chance to be at least second in school history in home runs. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, this lineup, and you have some questions about pitching, but I feel a lot better having seen what Justin Parker did in 1 year.
Yeah,
you have those questions there, but I like the coach. But the lineup is where your issues were this year. You had too many – you know, holes in that lineup. You had too many guys that were struggling to, you know, pick up pitches, that were striking out. This offseason, they've done a really good job of going out and getting players that can have really good at-bats, get on base, and drive in runs. And, you know, our whole thought process on this team, I think, changes. If you do get a Hunter Hines or David Mershon back, you have a much, much deeper team and a whole lot of competition in the fall.
Yeah. What do we think about pitching? Do we think Travis Smith will be in Starkville? Or it felt like he was the guy who really wanted to sign.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe he's not going to find where his spot wants to be.
Yeah, it really just depends on him at this point. You know, that he's in a range in the draft where it's just so muddy on players coming to school. You have the top 10 rounds, mm-hmm. and that is almost 100%. Those players are going to sign. There might be one or two guys this year that don't sign, and that is an anomaly in what usually happens. Last year, one player did not sign. Mm-hmm. So you know if you're drafted in the top 10 rounds, it is likely that those players are going to go. Early in the 11th round and maybe even up to the 12th, 13th round, we see a lot of college guys drafted that sign. Mm-hmm. And that's teams kind of know what their pool is. They know what they can pay a player. We see a lot of guys in that area sign. That's why if you look back at the players selected, it's almost all college players in that 11th round.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of understood too. When you start getting into 14th through the 20th or even, you know, 15th to the 20th, it gets a lot more muddy in who's going to sign, who's going to come back. You see a lot of players drafted that are – you know, high school players like Gerangelo a couple years ago got drafted in the 18th round.
Right.
See college players that are not going to sign. They agree to get drafted, whatever. Those are kind of your throwaway picks. So it truly is an unknown at this point. I was told last week by a scout that it was likely that he would sign if he got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if that happens. That's just one man's opinion. We'll see what happens there. It certainly helps Justin Parker's case for signing a guy like Travis Smith that he just did what he did in this draft.
Yeah.
With all these players.
I mean, Kyle Steven was not a second-round pick when he got to start.
You know, I think Nate Dome and Durangelo out of that group, they might be – maybe Colby Holcomb. That might be the only three that I would have said 100% they're going to get drafted.
And that was just because they had
talent.
Some tools.
Yeah.
They could throw hard.
Those are guys throwing 95-plus. Yeah. They're going to take those guys.
Right.
I didn't have Tyson Harden getting drafted. I didn't have Tyler Davis.
No, you shouldn't have.
I didn't have Cam Schulke. It was a tremendous.
Certainly wouldn't have Kyle Steven. Yeah.
No.
It was a second-rounder, too.
And even with the year that Kyle Steven had, you know, I was thinking fourth round.
Yeah.
But he improved his stock so much. Mm-hmm. I can't give Justin Parker enough props on that. So, I thought it was a really good draft for Mississippi State. Right now, I can't even be – totally upset about it. If David Mershon and Hunter Hines are able to be retained out of this, It was a major win for the Bulldogs. I thought they would probably lose Conrad Kaysen and Dante Norai. They lost both of them.
Was it Norai?
I believe it's Norai.
Ah, my bad.
Well.
Doesn't matter. I'm never going to say his name again.
Yeah, exactly. So. This is the last time you speak about him. So.
And then, obviously, let's talk about Dakota Jordan. First off, as a Giants fan, I'm thrilled. The Giants basically got two first-rounders with a first and a fourth-round pick.
Thanks a lot. Basically the only team, I think, at that point that could have signed him.
And let's kind of set that up. The Giants did not have a second- or third-round pick this year. They drafted a fourth-year senior with their first-round pick, James Tibbs, out of Florida State.
And they can pay him like Jake Mangum got paid.
They can pay him a lot less. So if there was a team that could meet a big number for a fourth-round pick, it was the Giants, and that's exactly what happened. And the Giants got a guy who was a top 30 overall talent with the 81st, 82nd pick, whatever it is, of the draft. I give the Giants general manager a ton of grief because that team is just not very good. But they got two great power hitters right there. Dakota Jordan has all the tools, and now that he's going to be getting at bats and getting a little bit more coaching, I would be very surprised if he's not a big leaguer and maybe a star in the big leagues.
Yeah,
because the tools are there.
First-round talent, no doubt about it. And I mean, a lot of people started getting false hope, and we even, you know, in our group message we had.
We started.
But you have to talk about the possibilities. At that point, when he had gotten through the second round and that first day he didn't make it, you have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You have to talk about, well, what if and what needs to happen. And then you get to the third round, and it just keeps getting to the point where there's no way he accepts, you know, $1 million at this point. He can come back next year and make $4 million. So I think from what I heard, his number was somewhere between $2 and $2.5 million, which is what is that, second round?
Yeah,
middle of the second round somewhere, and. If that's what he gets in the fourth round, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. That's kind of what happened with JT Ginn, too, a few years ago. He ended up making more money by coming to Mississippi State and turning down the first round of the draft because he had that.
And it's weird. He got drafted in the second. He got drafted later, but because of where. And
was it second round or was it like – I thought it was like third or fourth. I thought it was
second round.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got drafted later, but it was the same situation. I think they drafted either a really signable high school guy or a fourth year.
They have to go back and look, but yeah, you're correct. He ended up making more money out of that slot than he would have had his first round slot with the Dodgers. Plus, the Dodgers are a terrible organization. Nobody wants to play for them.
Yeah,
except for Brooks Auger. Congrats to him.
Right, and Shohei Ohtani.
I don't want to hear about that.
So, yeah, he got drafted in the second round. I forget what he was, 18th pick or something, 2019 or 2018, whatever it was. He got drafted like 20, 30-plus picks later and made more money.
Yeah.
That's how crazy the draft is. Unless it's after the 10th round, don't ever focus on where a player's drafted.
Yeah.
Focus on the money pool that team has available in whatever
again, if the Giants don't pick him there, he's going to seriously consider coming back to Mississippi State.
If they pick somebody else, I don't know if even picking another player, if they have an opportunity to pay him that later.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to have to pay that guy
something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was – it was kind of like – who else had that situation happen?
The Cardinals.
The Cardinals with Jack Kruger? No, he was
It was the Angels. No, I was talking about the Cardinals this year didn't have second and third pick.
Oh, that's right.
And so they signed their top guy under slot.
Yeah,
so.
I was thinking about a state player. Like, it was like the only team. The Red Sox was kind of like that with Blaze Jordan, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, Jack Kruger, he got drafted in the 30s,
yeah.
I think it was. And they had enough money to pay him, like, I think his number was maybe like $300,000 or something. Mm. They had enough money to pay him that.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a very weird thing. I enjoy following it every year. It's always an interesting thing to follow. And Mississippi State, to me, yeah, especially if they get Mershon and Hunter Hines out of this, they come out.
They did about as good as they could.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Plus, and on top of that, you got 11 players drafted and three players that are supposed to be coming in the program. 14 players.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, shoots a hole in the argument that Chris Simonis isn't recruiting.
No, you're right about that.
Good talent.
It does not hurt the argument, though, that he underachieves.
Yes, it's a
fine line.
He remains a very polarizing coach at Mississippi State and always will be polarizing, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move into the SEC preview for this show, and that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Beef is what's going to be for dinner for Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk. Some delicious brisket coming our way. We can't wait to get there.
Can't wait.
I wish it was Mississippi beef. We'll have to settle for those Texas cows on this one. But you don't. If you're in Mississippi, you're eating Mississippi beef. Enjoy it. And, guys, if you don't want to cook, go to one of our great steakhouses or barbecue restaurants across the state of Mississippi. They're serving the best of the best. You don't want to miss out on that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You want to have a great meal in Starkville, you need to go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and enjoy some fantastic food there. Or perhaps head to the Older Brother for a fancy sandwich. I was talking to our good friend Rivers Huey today, and she said that getting to the Older Brother is on top of her list.
Oh yeah,
when she gets back into Starkville. So
I'm sure her co-host would like it as well.
Oh,
I mean
Hester and T-Bob.
I can't imagine
T-Bob would be all about a fancy sandwich.
Oh yeah,
this just sounds like something he'd want.
And you know, from that area,
yeah.
I think they would love it.
Yeah, well, we need.
Love to get their in Muscana too. I would love to get their thoughts on the Older Brother. I mean, I can't imagine they would say it.
No,
sucks.
They'll love it. We'll get them up there. So, if you're in Starkville soon and you want to go grab a great meal, Two Brothers or the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing that for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers with service after the sale. Anybody can sell you a product. It's who takes care of you when that product goes wrong. That's who you want to do business with, and that's Advantage Business Systems. It make it easy. It's a 601 number. It's not a call center. It's not being on hold for 45 minutes. It's not talking to somebody who's going to be there in a week to 10 days. They're in Mississippi just like you, so a lot of times they can fix your problem the exact same day. Give them a call at 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at Davis-Wade Stadium this fall, make sure you are at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. is the place to find Mississippi State gear that you cannot get anywhere else. They've got all the logos that you want. They've got all the great name brands. They are the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. So if you want to wear the hoodies and the polos and the T-shirts that the coaches are wearing, you can only get them at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you're at Davis-Wade this fall, be sure to stop at Maroon & Co. SEC Media Days is where we're at, so let's look around the SEC. It's our SEC preview. Today we're talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks, a team that I thought underachieved a season ago. You know, coming off of an 8-win year, you think, okay, they're going to take another step forward. They did not. They took a step back and finished with a losing record. Shane Beamer not on the hot seat, but somebody's fiddling with the thermostat. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
It could get hot. They need to be better this year, and their schedule does not really lend itself to that. So let's just dive right into it, Robbie. They should start off strong with a win over Old Dominion. Week two, they have to go to Kentucky. And that's a tough – I mean, that's a tough week two ask for anybody to go up to Kroger's Field and have –
Did you call it Kroger's?
I always call it Kroger's Field.
Oh, I love that.
But I don't.
You and my mama in.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, if Walmart had it, I would call it Walmart's Field. Yeah. I like the Wildcats there. I'll be honest. At home, I think Kentucky wins.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's a tough place to play. As you know, just as South Carolina's is, that's two underrated venues.
Yeah. Week three, they host LSU. I mean, this is a tough start to the season.
At noon too. So.
So at least it's at noon. That's good, but. Goodness gracious.
But, you know, I would say they have a better shot at nighttime.
I guess you're right, yeah. But, I mean, LSU playing at noon, it throws them off sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'll take the Tigers to win. So 1-2, not a great start. I'd love to predict our friend Joe Moorhead to get the win over the Gamecocks, but we can't do that. So 2-2 going into the bye week. Then they host Ole Miss. And, you know, talking to Cross and Borky, they both have got this game not circled, but they're looking at it in, like, you know, South Carolina, if that game's at night, it could be a little dicey. I think they still have a little PTSD from 2009 when that top-ranked top-10-ranked Ole Miss team.
Fourth or fifth.
Yeah, went to Columbia and didn't come out of it with a win. That's a different Columbia team. That Steve Spurrier was there. Connor Shaw was the quarterback. Oh, I guess Stephen Garcia would have been the quarterback, but those were better South Carolina teams than this one. I think the Rebels will get the win. I could see the Gamecocks making it interesting, though.
Yeah, I do think that is one of the games that I have for Ole Miss that is kind of danger zone a little bit.
Yeah, that's on the road.
I think they lose to Georgia, and I think they lose probably one more. And I don't know anybody else, but this is one that I do have an eye on. But I think Ole Miss is going to win that.
Then they're at Alabama. Robbie, this is brutal.
Yeah, this schedule's not doing them any favors.
So we got them 2-4. I mean, at this point, the drums are beating on Shane Beamer.
Yes.
Right, he's got to find some wins. But not next week.
At Oklahoma.
Yeah.
His old stomping grounds.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Sooners. I took the Sooners last week, I believe. Yeah, I did. So, yeah, Sooner. I don't have my helmet schedule here in Dallas to keep me honest.
Yeah, and I haven't been keeping up with that either, so I'll probably look like an idiot.
Well, you'll be fine. So, gosh, dog, Robbie, 2-5.
Oof.
All right. They're off. Then they host Texas A&M. Not great. Not great, Robbie.
Great at all.
2-6, because I think A&M gets them. All right, little relief. They get to win at Vanderbilt to go to 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
Then they host Missouri. And Missouri at this point in the season should be in full, we have to keep winning to make the playoff mode.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get the win there.
No.
Mizzou is a loss.
Yeah, and they're going to be kind of shaky too at that point.
Yeah. I think that they will beat Wofford, so that's good news. So
Terriers.
4-6, 4-7. And here's where I'm going to go off the script a little bit. I think they're going to get Clemson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not big on Dabo. I think the empire is falling apart there, and I think that's going to be like that might be a tipping point for him.
Well, I mean,
they won last time.
That's still
5-7,
10-11 win Clemson team.
No, they play Georgia. They got to play Florida State.
No, I mean like last year, like you said, he's kind of.
Well, they won. They lost four games last year, didn't they?
Did they?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I thought they were still winning, you know, 10-11.
They lost four games last year.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I don't keep up with
the ACC much.
I got them losing to Clemson to finish 5-7.
I thought you said South Carolina was going to win that.
Oh, no, that's what I said. I have them losing to Clemson to finish 5-7.
No, you said that South Carolina was going to win.
Okay, you're correct. I have them beating Clemson.
Okay.
It's been a long day. Yes. So
okay.
I have him
win him four games.
I think he's not fired, but he's in winner.
Yeah,
go
is
home
South
mode.
Carolina going to pull the trigger on that?
No.
Shane Beamer. I never really liked that hire when they did it.
You've been making comments the past few weeks about Bronny James and about how his last name was Bronny Smith. Same thing with Shane Beamer. And I believe that if Shane Beamer is not Frank Beamer's kid, he's not a head coach anywhere. He had never even been a coordinator when they handed him that job.
No, and I think he's a really good recruiter. I think he's done really good things in recruiting.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Their profile's going up a little bit in that regard, but, I mean, on the field, I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's not working. So
and last year, I thought Spencer Rattler was actually really good, a lot better than I thought he was going to be, and they weren't very good.
Yeah, defensively, they were terrible last year.
Now, are they turning things over to the young kid?
Lenoris Sellers is his name.
Yeah. So is he the starter?
Yeah.
And he hasn't really
– He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, so
– he's big kid, big athlete, but I don't know. I don't know. So, all right, 5-7, 4-8. Next week, the Tennessee Volunteers. If you didn't hear it today on Sports Talk Mississippi, you will be shocked at my prediction for Tennessee. I like the Vols. I like them a lot.
Oh, I do too.
So, we'll talk about that next week, though. All right, are we going to have a podcast tomorrow? I don't know. We'll see. We'll try.
We can probably find some time at some point. I don't know.
I've got the greatest engineer in the history of engineering.
He's the shot caller.
Just give me can he and I record this while Thunder and Lightning Live is playing? He's thinking. Yes.
It's pre-recorded?
Yeah, I'm going to pre-record Thunder. Yeah, a little spoiler alert. Thunder and Lightning Live, which comes on after Sports Talk Mississippi, will be pre-recorded. So we'll come down here and do that, and then we'll go to dinner after that.
Ooh,
if you know what I'm saying.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so that'll be for tomorrow. Guys, have a great Wednesday. Enjoy Mississippi State at Media Days. All of our coverage on Sports Talk Mississippi. We're going to talk to all the players. We'll talk to Jeff Lebby. We'll have plenty of other great interviews as well on Sports Talk. Don't miss any of that. And if you do miss it, you can check out our YouTube channel. We've got all those clips there for you. You can see the interviews as they were happening. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.